Okay, well, this morning we are continuing on in our message series called Rethinking Church. And today we want to take some time to rethink how we worship God. Now, here at SIBC, the way we most often worship God is through singing of songs, right? I mean, we just got through singing a couple of songs, but usually about half of the time we spend together on a Sunday morning is spent singing songs. In fact, that's probably how most churches and most Christians worship God, right? They worship through the singing of songs. Now, I don't know about you, but personally, I enjoy that a lot. I like to sing. I like to worship. I mean, that's the only kind of music I listen to is worship music. My iPod, all I have is, well, podcasts and worship songs. So I enjoy finding new worship songs just for my own personal, private use. I really like to try to find songs that are in both English and Japanese so we can teach them here on Sunday morning. So I really enjoy worship music, worship songs. I enjoy playing the guitar. I enjoy being able to lead worship here. I enjoy Hiromi playing the drums. I think the drums sound great. I wish we also had a bass and a synthesizer and electric guitar because I like this style of worship. I enjoy our times of worship together. And I hope you do too. However, friends, is our current style of worship, is this the only way to worship? Is it the best way to worship? Is this the biblical way to worship Jesus? You know, as we look at the Old Testament, we see that they often worshiped God with music and with instruments. In 1 Chronicles chapter 23, we read that King David, he actually assigned 4,000 professional musicians to serve in the temple. Right? These were Levites, these were priests, and their only responsibility was to worship before the Lord in the temple with their instruments. 4,000 musicians. Now, they probably weren't all playing at the same time. They probably took shifts or something, right? But that's a lot of instruments. On top of that, we read that there were hundreds of men who were chosen to be singers. And their whole job was just to sing in the temple. And so when you read around the time of David, when he kind of initiated all of this, 24 hours a day, you could go to the temple and there would be music, there would be instruments, there would be singing, continuous music, continuous worship of God in the temple. And music was a big part of that. But once we get to the New Testament, all of that has changed, hasn't it? I mean, for the early Christians, the temple isn't the center of worship anymore. It's not the central place they go to worship. And even if they did, that 24-hour worship thing, that stopped a long, long time before the New Testament time. And then even still, there was no professional musicians, no more priests whose job it was to make music because the Christians, they weren't going to the temple. They were meeting in homes, right? They were just ordinary people like you and I who gathered in one another's homes. And so the question we want to consider today is this. How did those early Christians worship God? When they gathered together, what did their worship time look like? Now, you might be interested to know that there are only about 4 or 5 verses in the entire New Testament that talk about worship in the early church. So it's actually, we can't actually get a real clear, detailed answer to our question, but I think even from these 4 or 5 verses, there's a lot we can learn about worship this morning. So we are going to take some time to rethink worship today, and specifically, I really hope that we will broaden our understanding of worship this morning. Even though we might really enjoy our current style of worship with the songs we sing and the instruments we use, today I think we'll see that there are other ways, maybe even better ways, to worship Jesus. So today I want to share with you 4 ways to worship God, 4 possible ways that we can worship Jesus when we gather together as a church family. And if you have your yellow outline in your bulletin, you can go ahead and pull that out and follow along. If you need pens, there's pens on the back table. But let's go ahead and get started, right? These are 4 ways that we can worship God. And the first way is this. Right, we worship together in song. So the first way we worship is worship together in song. And this is what we just finished doing, right? And this is probably the most common way for Christians to worship. Someone chooses a song or a set of songs, and then the music starts, and then together we sing our worship to the Lord. And we actually see this in a couple of places in the New Testament. First of all, you know who sang together in song? Jesus and His disciples. Did you know that? Right, on the very last night of His life, Jesus had dinner with His disciples, and then after dinner, look at what they did. It says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So we see Jesus and His disciples, they sang a song together. And this also seems to be the practice in the early church, right? In Acts chapter 2, we have that very first picture, very first glimpse of what the early church looked like. And look at what the early Christians did. This is Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47. And it says this. It says, every day they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Right now, in English, maybe this actually isn't so clear, right? It's clear in both Japanese and actually in Greek. But in Japanese and Greek, the phrase here, praising God, it literally refers to singing. It's praising God through singing. So the early Christians, they worshiped God by singing songs together. So here at SIBC, as we worship Jesus by singing songs together, friends, we're being biblical, right? Our form of worship, it's a good way, it's a proper way to worship Jesus. And as I mentioned earlier, I enjoy this. Do you enjoy singing? Do you enjoy worship? Yeah, I think many of us do. All right, but I'm encouraged when I worship together with other Christians. It's a blessing when I can just lift up my voice with other members of the church family and worship Jesus. And friends, I think that's the strength of this kind of worship. Right? When we worship together in song, we are uniting our voices. That's what it's all about. We're uniting our voices. We lift up our voices. It's a corporate worship, a corporate praise to God when we sing together as a church family. And that's good. Now, having said that, friends, I think we also need to be kind of careful with this style, this way of worship. Because if we're not careful, I think it's really easy for times of singing together to become, how should I say this nicely, just religious activity. You know what I'm saying, right? It might be really easy just to come here on Sunday mornings and we sing the songs, but as we're singing, we're just kind of going through the motions, right? You know, we're moving our lips, but our minds are just kind of in neutral, right? We might read every word on the screen, and yet we're not really even thinking about what we're saying. Our mouths are moving, but our focus, our attention, our heart, our affection, our emotions aren't on Jesus. So we might actually sing every word of every song in both Japanese and in English, and yet our spirit, our emotions are just completely unaffected. And then when the worship time is over, we think, oh, I worship God. When in fact, maybe we didn't really worship at all. Because do you remember what Jesus said to the religious people of His day? Take a look at Matthew 15. Do you remember what He says? These people honor Me with their lips, but their hearts are far from Me. Now, I'm not saying this is the way it is at SIBC. But I am saying that we need to be careful. We need to be careful so it doesn't become like this. You see, the really nice thing about this worship together in song, right? The really nice thing about this style of worship is that it's easy, right? I mean, for most people, when you come here on Sunday morning, someone else has chosen the song. Someone else has practiced the music. Someone else has prepared the lyrics that go on the screen. And really, all that's required from you is that you stand there and sing. And that makes it nice and that's easy. And in that way, worshiping together in song is easy for us. And yet, the fact that it's so easy might actually be the greatest weakness of this style of worship. We need to be careful that it doesn't become so easy that we worship and we sing and it just becomes religious ritual without much meaning. Does that kind of make sense? I think you'll see what I'm saying as we move on. But friends, I think for this reason, I think it's really good for us to rethink worship. Worshiping together in song, it's good, it's biblical, we want to do that. But maybe it's good if this is not the only way we worship together here at SIBC. Okay, well, before I move on to number two, let me just quickly share something that's been on my heart, something I've been thinking about recently. You know, sometimes when I worship together with other Christians, sometimes the songs that we sing don't reflect what's in my heart at that moment. Do you know what I mean? Right? Often there are things in my heart that I want to communicate to Jesus, and yet the songs that have been chosen for that day are on a completely different topic. Right? For example, after the message, we always have time for worship, right? And let's say after the message, maybe I want to give thanks to God through worship, and yet maybe all the songs are about holiness. Now, it's not wrong to sing those songs, but it's just kind of not where my heart wants to go at that moment. Right? Or maybe after the message time, I just want to take time to be still and quiet before the Lord and just express my hunger for Him or my desire to know Him more, and yet the worship team is playing a fast and happy song and everyone's clapping. Nothing wrong with that. But in those times for me, sometimes worship is a little frustrating because instead of being able to sing to Jesus what's here in my heart, I have to sing the song that's on someone else's heart. Has anyone ever kind of experienced that? Maybe you never even thought about it until just right now, but I think maybe we've all kind of maybe experienced that. You see, friends, so sometimes I think it's good to unite our voices together and all sing the same song at the same time, and yet sometimes it might also be good if we don't all sing the same song at the same time. Rather than someone telling us a song to sing, maybe sometimes we need the opportunity to express our own heart. Maybe sometimes we need the opportunity to worship God with our own words. And that leads us to the second way that we can worship. Second way to worship is this. We worship with our own songs. Worship with our own songs. So as we gather together, I think there will be times when we all sing the same song at the same time, but there might also be times when we each of us can sing our own song, our unique song, our individual song to the Lord. So rather than just sing the same thing that the person standing next to you is doing, or rather than following the lyrics on the screen or the worship team on the stage, we will want to sing a song that reflects within our own heart at that moment. We'll want to sing a song that's meaningful to us as we desire to worship Jesus and love Jesus and draw near to Jesus. And I think according to the Bible, I think there are two ways that we can worship God with our own songs. Let me quickly share these with you. The first way is this. Right, one person sings to the rest of the group. Instead of everyone singing the same song, it's one person has a song and they sing and the other people listen. We actually see this in a couple of verses. Let me show you. This is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. This is actually a Paul describing the worship service in the city of Corinth, right? So this is how the Christians gathered together in Corinth. And it says this. When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. You see, so basically Paul says that when people gather together, everyone brought something and everyone made a contribution to their gathering time. He said some people had a teaching, that's an instruction. Some people had maybe a prophetic word. We talked about that a few weeks ago. That would be the revelation. Some people have a tongue, others an interpretation of tongue. But he said some people bring a hymn. Some people bring a hymn. So instead of everyone coming and then just one person, usually the worship leader, choosing all the songs that they're going to sing that day, apparently it looks like different people brought songs to sing. For example, maybe Noji would there's a song that he's been thinking about all week, just as he's been going through life, a song that's been on his heart. So when he comes, he brings this song. And Asano brings this song. Right? And then Chris brings the song. And everyone has this song that kind of, for whatever reason, is meaningful to them, just what they're going through. And then as we start our meeting together, right, they began to sing out their song or lead us in that song. Right? And if everyone knows the song, we might join in and worship with them. If we don't know the words to the song, maybe we'll just let them sing. And then we just receive. And as they sing, then it causes us to turn our hearts to Jesus. You see, friends, but in this way, the people brought their own songs. They brought songs that were meaningful to them, that were from their heart, that reflected what was going on in their lives. Right? It was people singing their own song. We also see this Ephesians chapter 5. This is a really interesting verse. Paul says, speak to who? One another. With psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You think it should say, speak to God with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. He says, speak to one another. Now, of course, all of our worship is directed towards God, right? He's the one who receives our worship. And yet, somehow, when we sing songs, the song that's in our heart, somehow that blesses and encourages and builds up the others in the group. The song of worship that we bring causes people to look to Jesus. So friends, I think as we rethink worship together, maybe instead of always following the worship leader, like we often do, right? Maybe it's good for us to learn how to, well, actually take time to also follow the Holy Spirit. Maybe sometime we can have, you know, a group of people who choose the songs and lead in worship, but we also want to give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to lead us. And maybe as we do that, maybe different people will sing out the song that is on their heart. And as I said, sometimes we might join together if we know the song. Sometimes we'll just let the other person sing. But in both ways, just our heart is turned towards Jesus in worship. So I think this is one of the ways that we worship with our own songs. Different people in the group bring the songs that are on their heart. And as they share their songs with the group, we just basically we're leading each other in the worship of Jesus. Does that make sense? You kind of see, that seems like it was maybe kind of how they did it in the New Testament. Well, I think there's a second way that each of us can worship Jesus with our own songs. Right? Instead of worshiping through songs that we already know, right? Songs that we learned or that we heard on a CD or saw on YouTube or something, right? Instead of worshiping Jesus through songs we already know, maybe each one of us can create our own song to the Lord. Right? Each one of us can sing a song to the Lord that flows from our own heart. Right? Again, let me show you. Ephesians 5:19. Right? We just looked at this. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Friends, do you know what the spiritual song means? Now, in Japanese, it's maybe more clear than in English. In English, the phrase is a bit misleading because people might think, oh, spiritual songs are songs about a spiritual theme or songs about a spiritual topic. Therefore, it's a spiritual song. And yet, that's really not what this phrase means. Literally, it means songs of the Spirit, which is actually what it says in Japanese, right? It's a song of the Spirit, right? So specifically, a spiritual song is a song that comes from our spirit, our human spirit, our inner man. And actually, in the verse right before this, in Ephesians 5:18, Paul tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? So I think the way it works is, right, as the Holy Spirit fills us, right, the Holy Spirit then creates these spiritual songs within us. Right? As our human spirit longs to worship God, the Holy Spirit living inside us gives us words, gives us melodies that allows us to express to God what is in our heart. And so these songs are born in our spirit by the Holy Spirit. You see, and I think this is what the book of Psalms means when it tells us to sing a new song. Right? I don't know, it's like 6 or 7 times it tells us to sing a new song. One example, Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Now, whenever I read this before, I thought this meant I had to go out and buy a new CD, learn a new song, and then there was a new song to the Lord. But I think the new song to the Lord, what makes it new is that you didn't hear someone else singing it. What makes it new is it's coming from within you. It's your song. It's a new song that you sing to the Lord. That's why it's new. It's a song that comes from your spirit, from your heart, from what you want to say, what you want to communicate to the Lord. Friends, I think each one of us can create our own songs that express the things that are in our own heart. And so practically, as we worship together, it might kind of work like this. Sometimes the worship team is playing and we all sing together the same song. But then sometimes the worship team keeps playing, but there's no lyrics on the screen for you to sing. Instead, we just take time just to begin to sing out whatever might be in our own heart. Whatever might be on our heart for the day, we just begin to just sing that to the Lord. And in a sense, our songs are spontaneous. It's not like we planned them or wrote them before we came, or it's just in that moment. As we look to Jesus, we just simply sing out to Him the things that are in our heart. It's a new song. It's a spiritual song. Now, obviously, if we do that, unless you're a brilliant songwriter, the lyrics will probably be very, very simple. It might even be just one phrase or just two phrases that you just kind of sing again and again to the Lord. But that's okay, because if that's what's on your heart, that's going to be meaningful to you. And you don't have to sing it in a loud voice. I think we need to sing. If we just kind of do it in our head, then technically it's not really singing to the Lord. It's thinking to the Lord, right? We're told to sing. There is a sense in where something needs to come out of our mouth. But it doesn't have to be a loud song. It could just be quiet between you and the Lord. And as we do that, some people might be singing in English or in Japanese, or we have a couple of other languages here that people might be singing in. And that might sound a little chaotic, like chaos to our ears, but I think to God's ears, I think that would be a beautiful, beautiful song. Because it'll be worship that comes from our heart. Now, honestly, even as I'm describing this, you're kind of thinking like, wow, that doesn't sound very easy. And I think it might be a little hard, a little awkward for us, because we're not used to singing like that, are we? We're used to, what do you call it, passive worship, passive singing, right? And by that I mean we just sing someone else's words. Right? We just sing the words that are on the screen. But we don't want to just be passive worshipers. We want to be active worshipers. And if we ask the Holy Spirit, He will help us in this. He will give us our own songs to sing to the Lord, our own songs, our new songs. In fact, take a look at what Paul says. 1 Corinthians 14. Paul says, I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. See, Paul says, sometimes when he worships God, he worships from up here. There's songs that he knows, songs that he's memorized, songs that he's heard before, and sometimes from his intellect, he worships God. But he also says, but sometimes he worships from down here. Sometimes it's his inner man that does the worship. Sometimes the words that come out of his mouth, the worship that comes out of his mouth is flowing from somewhere inside. Right? It's the Holy Spirit who's birthing in him a spiritual song. And so, friends, I think it would be really good for us to learn how to worship God in this way. Rather than always relying on someone else's song and someone else's lyrics to worship God, I think it would be good for all of us to learn how to worship Jesus with our own words, our own hearts, and our own songs. Does that kind of make sense? Friends, and I think in this way, worship with our own songs is all about just following the Holy Spirit. Right? Rather than have a worship leader who plans and prepares and leads and controls the entire worship time each week, we want to learn how to let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us and give us those songs to sing to Jesus. Now, honestly, I don't really know what this might even look like, for a church to do this, but I think it would be fun to try and explore and to experiment with this way of worship. And it, maybe in the coming months, as God is, obviously leading us into a new place, maybe in the coming months, maybe this is something we can really begin to explore and just experiment with and just see what happens. And I really think at first it might be kind of awkward, and it might feel like it's kind of, we're not organized, or I don't know, it might feel strange because it's new, right? And it might be something we have to learn and grow and get used to. But friends, I think this form of worship has the potential of being very, very meaningful to us. You see, yes, we want to worship together in song, right? We lift our voices, united voices to Jesus, but we also want to learn how to express in worship what's in our own words, what's in our own hearts, with our own songs. So I think that's the second way of worship that we see in the Scriptures. But let's move on to a third way. A third way of worship is this, right? It's worship without words. Worship without words. Now, the reason why I put this one up here, friends, is that when the New Testament mentions the word worship, most of the time, the Greek word that's being used there has nothing to do with singing. Right? Now, this is a little confusing in English, because in English, the word worship actually has a couple of different meanings, right? But in Japanese, it's much easier to understand, because in Japanese, there's kind of two different words for worship, right? There's sambisuru, which is the singing of songs, right? It's music and songs and singing. But then there's also the more general word for worship, which is leihaisuru, right? Well, the Greek is similar to Japanese in that there's two separate words. There's a word that means specifically worship for singing, and then there's a more general kind of word for worship. Well, the most common word for worship in the Greek New Testament is this general word for worship. It's worship without words. And so, friends, in the New Testament, worship is not about singing songs. That's one way. But that's the whole worship. It's not about singing songs. Rather, worship is about an inward attitude of the heart. So anytime we express to God the love or the joy or the hunger or the thanksgiving or the humility or the commitment or the praise or the honor that's in our hearts, that's worship. And we can do that with words, but we don't have to use words to do that. I think maybe this is what Paul was getting at in Romans 12:1. Look what Paul says. Familiar verse. Paul writes, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." All right, so Paul mentions act of worship. But notice, he mentions nothing about singing, does he? He doesn't tell us to sing or to do any of that. But he talks about worship. But Paul says that worship is when we, what does he say? It's when we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to the Lord. And specifically, Paul says we do that with our bodies. It's somehow we worship with our bodies as we offer ourselves to God. And so, friends, worship without words, I think it's really about offering ourselves to God. Right? Worship without words is about offering ourselves to God. When we worship not just with our lips, but we worship with our entire bodies. The inward worship that's in our heart gets demonstrated and revealed with our outward actions. Right? So inward worship is revealed in outward actions. So friends, how are some of the ways that we can worship God with our bodies and not just our mouths? What are some of the ways? Well, we could just be still in the presence of God. You think, well, how is that worship? Well, it's worship because in being still, just with our bodies, we're reflecting our hunger for God, right? We're expressing our desire to know God or our desire to hear His voice. Just by being still before Him, that's worship. Or how about standing? Like when we stand before the Lord, what are we saying with our bodies? Well, standing is a way to show respect. It's a way to show honor to God. That's worship. How about when we kneel down? Right? Kneeling down, that might be an outward display of an inward humility or repentance. How about when we clap? Clapping would be an expression of joy or thanksgiving in our hearts. How about when we dance? You know, sometimes when Noji and Omari get together, man, they're just like dancing up the storm. Do you ever see that, right? Dance, it's a way to express joy, thanksgiving, celebration. How about raising our hands? Even if no words come out of our mouth, as we raise our hands, it's a way to express praise and honor and love and adoration. Depending on how we raise our hands, it might also be a way of expressing our hunger, our desire, our desire to receive from the Lord. But just with our hands. Or how about if we just lie flat on our face, just face down on the ground? Right? That would be an act of surrender, an act of humility, just a way to express our awe of the greatness of God. You see, friends, so all of those are examples of how we can worship without words. Even if we are just absolutely silent with our bodies, we can still offer them to God and it can still be an act of worship. It's worshiping not just with our lips, but with our whole bodies. And friends, that's a biblical way to worship Jesus. And so here at SIBC, maybe it would be good for us to also explore and learn how to worship God in this way. How do we worship God without words? All right, so maybe the worship team can play a song, but no words, just we're just playing. Or maybe, better yet, we can just put a CD on the sound system, just an instrumental CD, and as we listen to the music, we turn our hearts to the Lord. And we give ourselves to the Lord, and we begin to worship without words. And just whatever seems appropriate or meaningful to you at that moment, you would use your bodies to give outward expression of what's inside your heart. And so some people might want to just sit there and be still. Others might want to stand in honor. Others might want to bow down. Some might want to clap or dance. But friends, it's all worship. And it's all meaningful. Why? Because it's coming from your heart. Because it's expressing what's inside. It's expressing your love, your joy, your hunger, your commitment, your whatever to the Lord. And you'd be doing it in a way that's meaningful to you. You see, it would be worship without words flowing from your heart. Now, do you want to know the biggest obstacle to this kind of worship? It's the fear of man. Isn't it? Most of us don't want to be different from the people around us. We don't want to stand out from the rest of the crowd. Right? So rather than use our bodies to express worship in a way that's meaningful to us, usually we just kind of do what everyone else is doing, right? Most of us, we just want to follow the crowd. So if we want to stand, but everyone else is sitting, then we stay sitting. If we want to raise our hands, but everyone else is, you know, like this, then we don't raise our hands. Because there's this desire in all of us just to want to, we want to fit in, we want to conform to the majority, be like everyone else. And friends, in that way, I think sometimes our worship is motivated more by the fear of man than by a desire to actually offer ourselves to the Lord. And so as we desire to rethink worship here at SIBC, as we desire to maybe learn how to worship without words, friends, we really need to overcome that fear. And so here at SIBC, we really, I think, want to create an atmosphere of freedom. And we talked about that a few weeks ago when we talked about prophecy, right? But we want to have just an atmosphere of freedom where people know that they're free to worship in a way that's meaningful to them. And they know that they're not going to be judged or criticized by others. Oh, look at Neil. He's kneeling down. Oh, he must think he's really spiritual or something. So, yeah, we don't want that. We want people just to feel free to do whatever. Right? Because when we're free to do whatever, we're free to really worship God. Even without words. So I think that is another way we can worship Jesus. We can use words, that's good, but we don't have to. Sometimes we can use our bodies to express what's in our heart. Okay. How are you doing, Yoko? Okay? Okay. She says, on to number four. Number four it is. The final way we worship is this. It's worship without instruments. Worship without instruments. And I'd like to give you a verse from the New Testament that shows this, but friends, the reality is there aren't any verses because believe it or not, as we read through the New Testament, there is no mention of musical instruments in the early church. Now, the New Testament mentions instruments, right? But there's no examples of the early church using musical instruments to help in their times of worship. So maybe they did, maybe they didn't. My guess is if it's a small group of people meeting in a home, maybe they didn't always have someone who can play an instrument. So my guess is that worship without instruments was one of the ways the early Christians worshiped. And for us, that's hard to imagine, isn't it? We can't, what, worship without instruments? Worship without the worship team? Right? I think it's safe to say that I think most Christians, most churches have really become dependent upon instruments to lead us in worship. And many of us can't even imagine worship without music. And yet, friends, worship is not about music. Worship is not about music. Real worship is about turning our hearts to Jesus. That's real worship, right? It's not about music. It's about turning our hearts to Jesus. Take a look again at the words of Paul. Ephesians 5:19. Paul says this. He says, "Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord." Friends, notice what Paul does not say. He does not say, "Sing and make music on your instrument to the Lord." You see, just because someone plays a song on the guitar, it doesn't mean that we're worshiping God. You see, real worship is worship. Real worship is when we make music, not on instruments, but in our hearts. Our heart is the instrument that God looks at. Right? Real worship is when we turn our hearts to Jesus, when we look to Jesus and focus on Jesus and talk to Jesus and surrender to Jesus and give thanks to Jesus and humble ourselves before Jesus. Friends, and that's something that you and I can do with or without instruments. Now, I'm not saying that instruments are bad or that music is bad. Right? I think both are very, very good. I think music is able to touch our emotions. That's the purpose of music, right? It's supposed to move us on the inside. So that's a good thing. And I think sometimes music and instruments, they help us to actually enjoy our worship time more, right? It's fun to sing when you enjoy the music. But friends, we need to remember that the purpose of worship is not that we would enjoy it. The purpose of worship is that God would enjoy it. And as you know, God doesn't look at the music. God looks at our hearts. And so friends, as we turn our hearts to Jesus in worship, I think we want to learn to do that even if we don't have someone who can play an instrument. And I think, unfortunately, I think most of us, myself included, we've become so dependent upon worship teams, so dependent upon musicians, that we don't know how to worship without them. And yet, from a practical point of view, I think it's good for us to learn how to worship without instruments, how not to be so dependent upon those who lead worship. So currently here at SIBC, we actually don't have a whole lot of people who can play instruments and lead people in worship. Now, we used to have a number of different worship teams and people who could help out, but right now there's not many people. In fact, I've been doing it almost every week for quite a while now. But friends, what happens if I want to take a day off from leading worship? And you know, actually, I do want to take a day off from leading worship sometime, because sometimes it's nice to be a worshiper and not the worship leader, right? There's a big difference. Sometimes it would be nice just to worship, right? Or what happens if I'm sick? I get a cold and I can't sing and my voice sounds worse than it normally does. Or what happens if I'm not here? What happens when our family needs to go back to America every two summers? We go home for like 8 weeks to visit our supporting churches. What happens then? What happens if I'm not here to lead worship each week? If we don't have instruments, if we don't have a worship leader, can we still worship Jesus together? Absolutely. Yes, we can. There's always ways to worship without instruments. I think the early church did it, so we can too. So for example, we could sing a cappella, right? Without instruments. Now, the nice thing about instruments is if you have a bad voice, the instrument kind of drowns out the bad voice. If we're singing a cappella, well, we just... but still, we could sing a cappella, right? We could worship God through prayer. We don't have to sing our worship. We could speak our worship through prayer. We could worship by reading the Psalms out loud. There's some wonderful psalms of worship. We could just read those out loud, and as we read those out loud, we could just turn our hearts to Jesus. Right? We could put in a CD. We could worship along to a CD. It's a little bit hard for us as we try to worship bilingually. There's not a whole lot of bilingual CDs, but we could figure something out. Or we could just worship by being still before Jesus. Just being still and just soaking in His presence. And you know, personally, I think it would be fun to see how creative we could be in trying to worship God, worship Jesus without instruments. Now, to some of you, you're thinking, gosh, that doesn't sound so appealing. Well, yeah, maybe it doesn't, but I think doing that would help us to break our dependence upon musical instruments and upon the people who play them. And I think learning to worship without instruments might really help us to learn how to turn our hearts to Jesus in worship. Okay, well, gosh, once again, this message is really long, so I apologize for that. But friends, I hope that maybe you've seen today that when we look at Scripture, there are more than just one way to worship Jesus. Right? And while worshiping together in song might be the common way, it might be the way that we enjoy, the way that we're most familiar with, friends, I hope that you see now, it's not the only way to worship. And as a church family, I really hope that we will begin to explore just maybe the many different ways that we can worship Jesus when we gather together, right? When we get together each week, I hope that all four of these will become a part of our worship time together. Maybe not all four in one week. But we can just try different things and do different things each time. Friends, and I think if we were to do that, I think the worship here would be, it would be, well, different every week instead of just the same week after week. It would be different, but I think it would be new. I think there'd be a freshness to it. One thing it wouldn't be as easy as it is now. We wouldn't be able just to come here and just show up and just sing the song someone else tells us to sing. But friends, I think it would be more meaningful. More meaningful to us and more meaningful to God. Why? Because each person would be an active participant in the worship time. Each person would come here with a heart that is ready and eager to follow the Holy Spirit, that's ready and eager to offer themselves to God, ready and eager to turn their hearts to Jesus. And friends, that's worship. And so as we look ahead to this next season of SIBC, and I don't know what the next season is going to be like, but I hope we will have the courage to really rethink worship. It's not that what we're doing is bad, but maybe there's more. There's more than just what we're doing. So in the coming months, I hope that we will really take time to explore and to consider these things.